Now we have Professor Jeff Hunt, Research Professor and Director from the Centre for Bioethics and Emerging Technologies at St Mary's, and also somebody whom I've been delighted to collaborate with in the past. Jeff, we're very glad to have you.
I'm sorry, I should have thumbed.
That's all right, we're nearly there. Nothing happening. Ah, right. Next, how do we maximise the whole thing? Good slideshow, isn't it? And then,
it's all these predictions that the future from 30 years did not predict PowerPoint.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yes, right. Right, thank you. I realise that the context here is regulation. I'm going to talk about labelling, as it's been my fortune or misfortune to be involved in labelling for the last 4 years. The issue of labelling can be connected with regulation, as I think Peter mentioned. I think it was 4 years ago, actually, that I bumped into Peter in Paris at a UNESCO meeting, and I happened to mention that the issue of labelling was bound to arise sooner or later, as indeed it had with GMO, and became very controversial. And he then collared me and said, would you like to chair a project on labelling? Of course, I was totally baffled by this request, but here I am 4 years later still talking about labelling. And it's been quite a bumpy road. It is controversial, and I've sometimes felt like Kofi Annan or someone in the middle of contending forces. On the regulatory front, this is just context setting. Our labelling that we're doing is not actually regulatory, but do we have legislation anywhere that has anything to do with mandatory directives on nanotechnology that's specific to nanoparticles or nanomaterials? The answer is no, except there's one notable exception, and that is to do with cosmetics in the European Union. There is now regulation. Which is specifically directed at nanomaterials in cosmetics, and it requires an element of duty of care, notification of the chemical identity, intended use, concentration, characteristics, toxicology profile, quite an extensive list. So I think what this does is make a hole in the wall, and it establishes the principle that regulation, I think, is possible, and that it is indeed on its way. I suppose cosmetics, food packaging, and nanomedicine are going to be the most sensitive areas, especially for the public, since anything that's going to enter your body fairly directly is going to be a matter of concern, I think. If it's embedded in an aeroplane wing, you're probably not so concerned about it. I think the really exciting areas, actually, for nanotechnology are in materials, energy, electronics, and probably not in the consumer area, but there's money to be made in the consumer area, so we're rushing ahead pretty quickly without enough regulation, in my view. We go back 4 years, and what Peter gallantly inducted me into was BSI, which is the British standardization body, and for a couple of years I chaired this this project, which was a stakeholder body involving some consumer organizations as well as industry and the food industry, for example, cosmetics industry. A fairly small group, but it was a consensus building exercise. It wasn't an attempt to impose any particular view on people. I think we were just simply in agreement at the beginning that labeling was an important issue, and whether we agreed on it, disagreed on it, or thought it was totally irrelevant, we were there, and what did we think about it? And we argued quite a lot about it, and surprise, surprise, at the end of 2 years, we did actually reach a consensus, and we did produce a voluntary guidance at the national level, and that indeed is the front cover of it. That was valid only for 2 years, so it's now defunct, But I like to think that it has played its part in raising the issue, has had an influence, and that's the most important thing. Without this sort of debate between stakeholders, we would not now be in a position to discuss labelling on a more on a rational basis, if rational it is, actually, I sometimes wonder. We, as Peter pointed out, there have been nearly 1,000 downloads of this particular document, so presumably there are people out there reading it and either throwing it in the bin or being profoundly reoriented by it. We've moved on from the 2 years of BSI to the CEN, which is the European level, and the ISO, which Peter has just given you an overview of. And we've taken labelling into that level. Now, it started off at the European level, and after 6 or 9 months, under something called the Vienna Agreement, which brings the ISO and the CEN together on certain projects, we took it up to the ISO level, so it was a kind of joint CEN and international project, which, again, I've been chairing, and it's come to an end of a phase recently, which I will tell you about. And this document is voluntary, it's not mandatory, so it's not a piece of regulation, it's guidance. And as Peter said, of course, if there are parties out there that embody it in a contract, then it does become legal. If it is one day embodied in a regulation, I think it's more likely that it will be a sort of platform for further discussion of regulation or the need for it or what kind of regulation that we need, which I personally think is very important. Otherwise, I wouldn't have spent 4 years of my life on it. Now, I'm in a slightly tricky position because this document has only just gone out for international ballot, and I think there are some confidentiality issues around this, so I can't go into any detail as to what's in the consensual draft, but what I will do is just give you a sketch with some direct references to what was in the penultimate draft, just to give you an idea of what the discussion about labelling has been about, and I think that's really probably all you really want to know.
2 minutes.
Good Lord, 2 minutes already, right. It's a voluntary document. It does not apply to natural or incidental, but only to manufactured nanoparticles. And it's basically about particles which are in various kinds of products. Peter told you something about the definition, so I won't talk more about that. So labelling of what? Manufactured nano-objects and products containing manufactured nano-objects. There's a lot of debate about how we use the prefix nano, and there was an incident in which the press picked up adverse effects from a product in Germany, and it was said to be a nano product, but it turned out that there was nothing nano in it which actually caused the adverse effects. It was more to do with the propellant in that product. So it was an important issue, I think, should we give some guidance on how this term nano, this prefix nano, is to be used? And that was one thing that we tried to do. A lot of discussion, of course, about what was going to go into a labelling statement. We had a lot of discussion about whether what was relevant and what was not, which is very difficult, because you could nanosize almost anything. And sometimes you've got to look at the particular context, the particular product. So you can't always say that size is important, or that the chemical composition is important, or the surface area is important, or the aspect ratio is important. It really depends on the specific context. So there was this real difficulty of generalizing from a situation which depended entirely on the specifics. But we did come up with some examples of what might be in a label. So we weren't dictating. We were saying, here are some examples. Consider the kind of thing that, on a voluntary basis, you might wish to put into a label. And there were some other examples about specific kinds of things that would be relevant. And then we, due to the politics of the situation, we had to push certain things into the annex. As we started off in the European context, we were taking for granted, for example, the precautionary principle. Other regions of the world do not take it for granted, in fact, are rather antipathetic to the precautionary principle. So we compromised by pushing the precautionary principle down into an annex. Now, to cut a long story short, at the end of the 2 years, it went out for an international ballot, and it failed. Was this the end of the world? No. I take the view that it's having an influence, and it's setting a good platform for further discussion. In the international ballot, 48% were in favour, which was a failure. I think these figures are correct. Peter will correct me if I'm wrong. The European contingent got 66% of a weighted voting system, which in my view is perhaps not entirely fair, but never mind. We could talk about that as another ethical issue, as opposed to the 71% necessary for approval. The position at this very moment as we speak is that we're going for another ballot on whether we should continue on the basis of what has happened in the previous ballot. So it's not dead, it's moving on, and it may be overtaken by events, of course, if the European Parliament, for example, were to decide on mandatory labelling of some sort. But I think this will have had an influential and seminal impact on that discussion. The conflicts that are going on here basically are quite interesting from a political point of view. You might think of it as purely a technical specification, but of course it's bound to be political. Labelling is always political. There are basically two kinds of divisions, one between, I think, very loosely speaking, this is not entirely true, of course, generalisations, are industry on the one hand and consumers on the other. I will say that I'm exaggerating a little bit there. And the other is the regional differences, for example, between North America and Europe. So we had lots of debates, sometimes got very heated. I remember some shouting and table thumping once or twice. But it was a miracle, actually, that we were able to find a consensus document at all at the end of this process. And the struggle continues. Lots of things I could say about the future of regulation, which I won't bore you with right now. It just remains for me to thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Well, as a cliffhanger, we're now we're waiting up late tonight to see when is the next round of voting here. Will the document get through?